All right. We're having some fun here on the podcast. Welcome to another episode of Layovers. And this is just 5410 stories that we're kind of doing. And Sam and Ed were traveling all over Africa, and they are teaching and preaching to leaders around all of Africa. And so we can't pick every story and share everything, but we're just trying to pick one or two things that really share the heartbeat or impacted us in the country that they're visiting. And our layover today is actually in Benin. And so what do you guys got for us today?
Well, first it's kind of interesting because we bring Zach with us on this trip, and Zach's like, man, I just want to experience just to see what God's doing and so I can grow. And you know, it's been great, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
But we look up on the side of this building, and they have this poster of us. And it says, oh, you know, Bishop Edward Lloyd, you know, from Uganda. And then it says, you know, Reverend Sam Risley from the USA. Yeah. And then it says, Pastor or something Zach Rabenstein
Robinson.
From the UK. They got him from the UK. And so we've got a man minding the gap. We got a guy from Uganda, the guy from the United States.
Right.
And it's interesting because it every place it reminds me of how they're celebrating the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And in all these journeys, every place is a little different. It's like we went from you know, as you were saying, the village to the city to the church.
Yes.
And you have been sharing this for the last couple of days, but the village, what we see in the village is what? What do we see in the village that people are captive to?
The village, people are captured by the customs and the traditions.
Yeah.
And this is why somebody comes to the church, but they still go to the witch doctor. Mm-hmm. So really, they are trying to get out from this struggle.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see. And you can it's tangible. You can see these people being confused between the power of Jesus and the power of the witch doctor, the darkness.
Yes.
So Edward said this the other day. He said, you know, the people in the village are really captive to the witch doctor. And then the people in the city are captive more to like material things and wealth and, and these kinds of things. And you can really see that. Mm-hmm. In the city, even their buildings are different.
Yes.
You go in the village and the church building is very simple, very basic. Mm-hmm. But you go in the city and they're building these huge cathedrals.
Yes.
And the bigger the better because it represents more material possessions, more blessings. In fact, a lot of the pastors in the city are really trying to sell things.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Did you hear the pastor, I think it was today or yesterday, that the pastor said, I have sold handkerchiefs.
Yes.
I have sold holy water.
Mm-hmm.
I've sold oil.
Yes.
I have sold prayers.
Mm-hmm.
So you come to me if you want prayer. You give me money, and I'll say prayer. Now, if you don't give me very much money, kind of a high five.
I said some people, I waved to them.
You get a wave because you just gave a little bit of money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you give a lot of money, he's really going to lay it out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel prayed for. Mm-hmm. Maybe a slap you in the forehead. I don't know what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But see, again, you see the material competition of money and these things within the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the church itself,
you
see something that's holding them captive. What do you see there in the church?
It is power. When you come now to the church, it is power. Because now churches are competing who is more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what this pastor in Togo, in Benin said, that I was praying to people, but then I started decreasing in power. Then people started leaving my church.
Going to the other church.
The other church, because the other guy had more power. Then I had to look for a strategy.
Yeah.
Strategy in, to bring, you know, to have the crowd.
And what he meant by strategy is he meant he needed to do all the holiness stuff, all the yelling, all the loud, all the... He was defending really an approach that was more about entertainment and more about scaring people, because that was the strategy he had to change so that people won't get bored with him and go to the other church.
Yes, how to talk, how to shout. And you look at these other preachers, like we look for preachers from America. He had to watch TV more, mimic what they say, change his dressing, you know, he said that, and change his voice. Because like he said, if he was not shouting, he said, like, you people, you don't shout. But as here, if you don't shout, then the people don't grasp what you're saying. Like,
I just felt convicted to ask them if they feel like God has called them to be a parrot.
Yeah.
You know, I know that kind of confused them, but then as we worked through it, it was this idea that in many leaders around the world are simply repeating, parroting what they see other movements of God doing that are called movements of God, but really are being operated by the darkness. Mm-hmm. Because within the church, as we say, that they are captive to the power they're looking for. And that power they want over people. And religion is what gives it to them. Because when you keep people captive to religion, you hold them away from a relationship with Jesus. And there's this teaching that we do with a water bottle, and we put it in their hand, and we say, you and I, and most people want God in their hand, but God in man's hand dies. And that really is religion, God in man's hand. But the key is to put your life in Jesus's hand. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I am in the Father's hand. You are in my hand. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. So as these leaders look for power over people, they love religion and they love religion's ways because it keeps people subservient to them and it keeps them in power. So we go into Benin and there was quite a disturbance there, really with the big boys. There were a lot of big ministers there. And it's interesting, some of them stayed, but some of them left, didn't they, Edward?
Yeah. Some of them stayed, and some of them left. Actually, when you answered the question about having God, when the pastor said, should we shout, should we do all this? When you answer that question, that, you know, God should not be in our hand. We should be in his hand. And God should take us places, not us taking in places. And prayer is not commanding God, you know, like like shouting, making God the lesser.
As if God's deaf.
Yes, as if God is deaf. So when you say that, and then what? One of the most interesting things about the TV, the crewmen from the big station in Benin.
Basically, let me say something.
Yeah.
I didn't know it, and Zach didn't know it.
Yeah.
But Edward found out. There was a guy recording us from moment one.
When we got out
with a nice camera, lights on the whole nine yards. He is recording everything we're teaching. So Edward finds out that this is the TV station of Benin, recording everything we're teaching and everything we're doing. What did you learn about that?
Yeah, the thing was, the pastor who invited us, his church had a problem because it could not take the number of people we wanted. So he asked this other bishop so that we go to his church. And he accepted. But, you know, people, like, they only want you to invite you themselves. So coming through this guy was like, he wanted to show us, this is my church, I'm the boss. So then when we didn't fall into that trap, I didn't know, then he felt like, these people now, because they are not going to be on my side, I want to check who they are, like you want to smell us. So what he did, he secretly called the TV people. So the plan was that they record us to air us in the nation. So whatever we are teaching, that the people will know, and he will disassociate himself with us. So that is why he didn't want to be captured in the camera, in the video, so that he says, I don't know this teaching, I am not for it. So right. secretly, he allowed us be in his church, but he didn't. He says, no, I can't be with these people.
Yeah, and if there would have been a reaction
yes,
for people to come against us and yeah. come and take us
yeah.
away, it would have been very interesting because they were doing this without really our knowledge. Yes. We didn't know what they were doing, but that's what they were doing.
Yes.
A heavy investigation in Benin.
Yes, so no, he was recording you, recording Zach, recording me every time, every little bit. And then finally, this guy calls me outside. Mm. They say, you as the bishop that was leading this team, we want to ask you why you people go into the nations and what you are doing in going to this nation to preach. What are your message? So I told him, man, you are recording. I think you got what it means. Mm. So then he asked me, now what is the impact? What do you really want to achieve? Mm. And what are you gaining by doing this? And so I told him this is God's work, and whatever reason you have recorded it, you need to air it. You just go ahead. Mm-hmm. He asked me if I would be comfortable if this is known
public.
I said, go ahead. I think this is the right thing for you to do.
So really, when they record it,
yes.
then they're going to hold it over our heads saying, we will show this to the public.
Yes.
If you don't. And he's like, yeah, please go show that.
Yeah.
What was interesting is the morning session went really powerful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really powerful. And there were a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the afternoon,
yes.
there was a thinner amount of people there
yes.
because a lot of these leaders through this hubbub kind of got scared
yes.
that, oh, if this is aired
yeah, yeah.
and people see me in here,
yeah.
listen to this,
yes.
especially if it creates some kind of a revival, that a rejection, because these people don't want to let go of the power that they have. They don't want to let go of the power and the money that they can make through the holy water, through all these things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're making all this money from religious things, then you don't want to get real.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
want to keep your religion.
Yes.
And so that was interesting. But there was a shift the second day, I
yes,
noticed.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because the numbers came back, but the numbers and the people were different.
Mm-hmm.
The people that God brought were a younger
yes.
generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember some of the elderly, the very yeah. elderly stayed.
And the ladies.
And the ladies stayed who were hungry.
Who were hungry, saying oh, amen the first day.
They were
those
powerful.
Ladies were like, man,
yes.
everything. I think sometimes it is how the truth was touching them
mm-hmm.
that they were shouting amen. So
yeah.
it even scared the big boys who are their leaders.
Sure.
Like, this is
yeah.
this is like a tornado.
There were some powerful leaders there that stayed.
Yes.
That I think that our messages were confirmation for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were confirmation that I've been convicted this way. I knew this. And you have brought confirmation that what I've been doing or what I've wanted to do is right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some confirmation going on. There was some encouragement. There was some confrontation
mm-hmm.
going on, like in every country. But it was this younger crew
mm-hmm.
that really stood out. And they, when I say younger, I mean in their 20s and 30s.
Yes.
You know, that were there, that I felt so connected to as I was teaching
yes.
because I felt like they were right with me,
mm-hmm.
right with me. And they were looking and it was like they wanted to know everything. It reminded me of Ngannou when that guy pulled me aside. He says, just tell us the truth. We need to know the truth.
yeah.
It's like they wanted that.
Yes.
And afterwards, actually I didn't know this
mm-hmm.
until today. And this is, that was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Because we left Benin, drove through Benin, through Togo, all the way to Accra, Ghana, and we got in late and it was tiring. But this morning, Edward, you shared that a boy pulled you aside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he shared some things with you. And so I think it's just valuable for us to hear what he shared with you.
Oh, you see, as we were leaving, because we were leaving hurriedly yesterday, so this boy, there were the team that came yesterday, the big crew, they were seated
the
on the younger generation. So he pulls me. He was there the other day. So he pulls me and he says, please, I request I get your number because there's something I wanted to share with you people. Please give me your number just to share this thing with you. Then I says, all right, I give him my number. And he was speaking very, very good English. You know, this is French, but that boy was speaking. And he says to me, please. And then I say, all right, let me give you. I was hesitant first because he stopped me and there were four other standing with him. And then the other say, give him. So I thought like these are English speaking.
Yeah.
So now I give him my number. And then today this boy sends me a message and he says, hello, sorry to interfere with you. Like, and he says, I am the young boy you gave your number yesterday. And he says, how are you? I say, oh, good. We came late and so we were just relaxing. And then he says to me that I want to thank you for the teachings you people brought. All I wanted to tell you is that 2 years ago, I was praying to God. And I was praying to God to bring revival. Mm. And God told me 2 years ago that, wait, I will show you the people that I am sending, that I'm sending people for revival. And so he has waited for 2 years. Mm. And as you could see, he sent me even his picture. You could see he's a Muslim. He's a former Muslim because you could see the sigida in right in his face here in the picture he sent. And he said, I have been praying and God told me, wait, revival is coming to this nation. So he had his 300 young men, his friends. Some of them he brought there yesterday. He brought them to confirm with them the teaching of yesterday. And when we said that revival, God, he said to them, don't you hear what I had been telling you? So it is amazing that this boy
when we said that God sent us for a revival,
yes,
he said to you in a text,
yes,
that is the same thing that God told him would happen 2 years ago. And so this boy has been praying,
yes,
and asking God, what about Benin?
Yes.
God, what do you have for Benin?
Yes.
And God told him that God had a revival, that he's sending a group of people who were preparing in the secret or preparing or whatever he was saying. I don't remember. They were preparing.
Yeah, that God is arranging his army in secret. God is like the story. He was telling me the story of Elijah, when God told him, I have 700 people who have not bowed. Yes. So he was saying, God has people. God told him, I have a remnant that I am working
on. And
that.
So here is this. So if we're reading this right,
yeah,
most people might not know this, but you can really see a faithful Muslim, a lot of them, by their forehead.
Man, yes.
Because their forehead is the thing that touches the mat when they pray. And on their forehead where that touches the mat 5 times a day, over and over and over and over and over again, there will be a mark on their forehead. And this boy in the picture he sent has a mark on his forehead that shows you that he has been praying. And he's been asking God to reveal something for Benin.
Man, yes.
And so I'm just moved because only God can call people out of the darkness. It's like God appeared to Saul and called him out of the darkness for the light. This boy, God has called 2 years ago. I don't want to wait 2 weeks for something or 2 days. Right. This guy has been saying, okay, God, I'll wait. And you know what I would bet? I would bet you that he remained faithful in his prayers 5 times a day, I bet.
Yeah.
And the mark is showing that this man has been faithful. And he's praying, God, show me the revival. And then when the message comes, I know you said this already, but I want to make it clear. This boy brought these other people, probably other Muslims, with him.
Yes.
To confirm that what we are sharing is the very truth that God said was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. And he makes mention that he has 300 people that he has connection with. And they're looking. These truths that have been given to them, the places God can take them. Mm-hmm. You and God's hand can be taken somewhere that your hand could never take God. And it's so powerful what God's doing. And the thought, Edward, of God allowing us to be a part of this.
Yeah.
We couldn't go. Mm-hmm. Only God could send us.
Yes, ma'am.
We can't afford this. Mm-hmm. The money and the sacrifices of people who never meet these leaders outside of heaven.
That's true.
Have been praying and sacrificing financially for this move of God. Mm-hmm. We are 20 countries in now. Mm-hmm. We've got 34 to go. We have seen the most impoverished village leaders. We have seen people in the city confused with money and holy water and all these things. We've seen demon-possessed people. We've seen Muslims.
Yes.
Right? Good people of the world. If there is such a thing, right? God is good. But people of the world who are seeking a good God, who are seeking God, saying, God, show us something more. And if they have no leaders, then a blind guide cannot guide anyone to light. Mm-hmm. And so what a wonderful
opportunity. You see, it's just amazing to think of the light, the truth that is in the Word of God, how it lightens a place. This is a man who is a Muslim, who was a Muslim, maybe even...
Still, maybe.
But he has been praying, tired with what he's seeing in the church. Mm. Tired with what he sees people called to be the true God. Mm. And in his side, he saw the God there is also not the true God. Then he decided to seek the truth.
Yeah.
And then praying for God to send people. Mm. And now, like, praying for us. How many times have we been in the board and, like, we want to give up? Mm. When our going is somebody's prayer. Not really our journey, but God's journey.
It's back to what that guy said in the Togo. God has you on a mission. Be patient. Wait on it. You know what I noticed in these guys? I noticed in these young people that came to Benin. Mm. That they were not seeking power for themselves.
Yes.
Even in his prayer, I have been praying for what God has for Benin.
Yes.
Not for me. Mm-hmm. But God, what do you have for Benin? What do you have for our country? And see, I think that that kind of request, God says, oh, you'll see it and you'll be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just such a big, big, powerful thing. Pray for this boy. Pray for these 300 that God would raise them up. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
All right. That's all the time we have today. And that was your layover in Benin. See you next time.